For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all know it's a lot on his plate. Just how he stays calm with everything. Just his urge to get better. I can't say that enough. You could tell he wants to be great, and that's what you look for. There's going to be ups and downs throughout the season. There's going to be adversity for sure. But he never gets too high, never gets too low.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's Bears running back DeAndre Swift talking about QB1, Caleb Williams. I am Rami Makhlouf with you right here on 670 The Score for a couple more hours. Talk some Cubs with you a little later this hour. Steve Stone will be here at 8:20, but keeping the Bears talk going right now with the Bears insider for the Marquee Sports Network and joining me on the Circus Sports Hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Pleasure to welcome in Scott Bear. Scott, how are you this evening, my man?
I am doing pretty well, and to be honest with you, I am ready for week one, man. It's so many training camp practices, so many preseason games, so many episodes of Hard Knocks. My goodness, let's kick it off. Let's have the score mean something.
Yeah, this is your first time on the score. Do I have that right, Scott? But I'm sure you've been listening to the hosts and the fans here just losing our minds ready for this football season.
Yeah, you can definitely feel that, like, there's a vibe. There's an energy everywhere that you go. I went to a Cubs game last weekend. People were talking Bears. People were, like, wearing Bears gear. This market, which has been starved for a winner, for the Bears to win a playoff game, things like that, you can tell that this level of optimism is high. And I will add that their level of optimism is warranted because there's a lot of talent. There's a lot of depth on this team. Now, that said, they still have to go out and do it and prove it. Everybody is 0-0 right now, but I think the optimism is warranted because of what I've seen and because of the way the Bears have gone about their business over the course of this summer.
Okay, let me ask you this then. Talking with Scott Bear, Bears insider. By the way, great name for being a Bears insider for the Marquee Sports Network. You're right. The potential is there. On paper, it looks like this is a team that could win a lot of football games. What's the one thing that makes you most confident that will happen? And then what's one thing that you look at and you think could be a wrench in this whole thing and could make it go wrong?
You know, I think one cause for absolute optimism is the skill players across the board on offense. Caleb Williams is not your typical number one pick. He's not Bryce Young from last year and lots of other number one and number two picks that go into a terrible situation where the cupboard is bare. Not only do you have Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, DeAndre Swift, Cole Kmet, I could go on and on and on, that he has so many guys that he can rely on, guys where he can throw the ball 2 yards in the air and it's still a chunk play. He doesn't have to put the weight of this offense on his back, and I think that if Caleb can understand that early and trust those guys around him, I think this offense can be truly dynamic because he has so much help. Now, cause for skepticism, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love their secondary. I think they're deep. I think they're talented. But as we all know, every coach who's ever spoken in front of a microphone says one thing: rushing coverage work together. Rushing coverage work together. Well, if they can't generate a decent pass rush, if teams are triple teaming Montez Sweat because they don't have anybody who can produce on the other side, look, up front, outside of Montez Sweat, they have nobody who had more than 3.5 sacks last year on that defensive line. Not good. And can they get production from this new guy, Daryl Taylor? Can they get production from some other young guys? I don't even think that, like, they're quite sure. And that's why they kept I think there's 5 or 6 defensive ends on this roster right now. I still think they're trying to figure out what that rotation is. But if you can't get after that quarterback, then it doesn't matter how good you are on the back end. A good quarterback will find a way, if he has time, to pick you apart.
Talking with Scott Baer of the Marquee Sports Network, their Bears insider over there. You talked about all the skilled position players around Caleb Williams and how that puts him in a really good position to sort of succeed and grow into the quarterback that the Bears and everybody here in Chicago wants him to be. Leaning on those guys and sort of hitting the layups, so to speak, especially early on in the season and just getting the ball in those guys' hands, seems to be something that Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus have really emphasized to us when they've had cameras and microphones in their face. And I have to assume are emphasizing to Caleb Williams as well.
Yeah, I think every time that one of those guys goes up to the microphone, sure, he's talking to fans, he's talking to the media, he's kind of also talking to his players, right? Because everybody sees it. Everybody reads on social media exactly what's been said and what's going on, no matter how much you try to block it out. And that was a consistent message from the GM, from the head coach, from the offensive coordinator is, hey, we know that you can hit home runs, right? Like Sammy Sosa style. Like, we get that, okay? But sometimes a single and a double is going to help us. So it's finding times where, yeah, you can go off schedule and you can do what he did in that preseason game against the Bengals and wiggle and move and throw a 45-yard rocket, you know, right to his wideout, right down the field. There will be times for that. But I think that when you have that ability to make football miracles happen, your natural instinct is, I can do that, so why don't I make miracles happen all the time, mm-hmm. right? So it's like adjusting that mindset. And that sounds easy to do when you and I are sitting here talking about it. A little harder when you have a 300-pound defensive end bearing down on you, right? Like, it's just a little bit different when your instincts kick over to try to do that. Well, sometimes that works, like it did against the Bengals. Sometimes it's a pick when maybe you had somebody in the flat that you could have given it to gain 7, 10, 12 yards. So it's about being disciplined. It's about being smart. That said, it's a lot easier to say than it is to do.
And, you know, when you talk about, you know, how he reacts when pressure is put on him and whether that's the pressure of, you know, being the Bears quarterback and everything that comes with that, Scott, or actual physical pressure when he's out there on the field. And like you said, 300-pound linemen are chasing after him. You've seen him a lot more than I have on the practice field, in these press conferences, and when he has a million microphones and cameras put on his face and knowing the expectations that are on him. It doesn't feel like on the field or the little bit that we've seen from him on the field when the pressure is put on, it doesn't seem like it phases him or it ever really gets to him. No moment, no light seems too bright for Caleb Williams at this point. And I don't think that's something you can coach. Have you picked up that same vibe off of him?
Yeah, and I really think that he's had the spotlight on him since he was like 16 years old. And then he played at Oklahoma. And then he played in Los Angeles where and I'm from Southern California, and USC is king down there. So I think that he's used to the spotlight. He's used to people looking at him. He's got that 1,000-watt smile. He's very professional. I think he lets things kind of roll off of his back while still, you know, he's still that Michael Jordan type where if you say something bad about him, he's going to make a mental note and then he's going to kill you for it on the field, right? But I do think that he's able to handle all this kind of quote-unquote pressure that like that's being put on him. He hasn't played an NFL snap, and you walk around this fine city and he's the savior of the franchise and he's gonna take us back to the 80s, right? Or like something like that. And that's a lot of pressure on a young guy. And we've seen a lot of quarterbacks, probably about half of them, I'm looking at you, Zach Wilson, right? There have been guys who have been put in that position and have struggled to deal with all the other stuff. The one thing that we don't know that I think that we will be curious to see, and look, over the course of a regular season, it's going to happen to every team, even the best teams, right? They're going to get smacked around at some point.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to face adversity. Look, he's a rookie. There's going to be a game, and the Bears might win it if they play good defense. There's going to be a game where he completes 55% of his passes, has one touchdown and 3 picks, right? It's just a thing. Right. So how does he respond to that? I think those things are going to be important as we see him work through it. And if he can respond well to mistakes and adversity, if he has a bad first quarter, it doesn't turn into a bad game. That's how you can really see, does he have the mental fortitude in game to do that? I think he does. But again, he hasn't played a snap yet. Still has to prove it.
Talking with Scott Bear, Bears insider for the Marquee Sports Network here on 670 The Score. Rami Makhlouf, your host. You mentioned you're from Southern California. You I'm sure saw him pretty closely when he was at USC. And the narrative was his last year at USC, he didn't have the help. He didn't have the roster around him that he had on previous college teams that he'd played with. And so he would try to do exactly the opposite of what we talked about a few minutes ago, which is try and put it all on his shoulders and do it all himself. Can he, do you think, just turn that off now that he's with the Chicago Bears and he looks around and he sees a Keenan Allen and a DJ Moore and Rome Odunze and Cole Kmet and DeAndre Swift standing behind him? Is that something that he can just turn off and go, oh no, I got help now. I don't have to be Superman every play.
Yeah, I think so, because those guys have proven it to him day in and day out during practice. Just like having seen it, that those guys have been reliable. And this defense, they talk a lot of smack, right? And they put a lot of pressure on him. And Montez Sweat has said it. Tyreek Stevenson has said it. That's part of our job, right? Our design is to get better as a defense, but we also want to help our quarterback get better by putting pressure on him every single day. And him being able to thrive through pressure, for Keenan Allen to be able to get open on a guy like Jalen Johnson and make a tough catch, Caleb has seen evidence that these guys can help him out. And I think that that's going to be important, in addition to the fact that, like you said, every time he turns around, somebody is whispering, stay on schedule, stay within the structure of the play unless you absolutely have to break free, right? And once you get that kind of motivation set, I think he's going to be good. But the one thing that I think is interesting is we're going in against Tennessee, right? You have a new head coach. There's going to be tons of unscouted looks and things that he hasn't seen. But can he follow his rules? Can he make the right checks? Can he set up the right protections? And again, take what's given to him. The Titans aren't world beaters in terms of talent, but they are tough and physical. So how does he respond to those little types of things? I think there's plenty of confidence that he's going to do well in those types of situations. There's going to be so much hype leading up to it, right? And you've heard him on Hard Knocks. I don't get nervous, mm-hmm. right? And then you wonder, will you or won't you? And you won't know until the moment, right? Like, at some point, you just have to experience it. But I think get a couple easy plays under his belt, and then all of a sudden, he can just play free. But going back to your original point before I started randomly ranting for 90 seconds was I do think that the guys around him have earned his trust this summer, and that's really important.
I think a lot of Bears fans have to have this inner dialogue where they're like, is my hopes and expectations crazy? Do I need to check them, or is that realistic? And I made a statement earlier on the show, Scott, that if not week one, and I'm not going to expect him to be that on week one, but by season's end, I think the Bears could have the best quarterback in the division. Do I need to check myself, or is that a realistic statement?
I think that's a very interesting and fair way to look at it when you look at the talents in this division. I mean, Jordan Love is obviously very good. I think Jared Goff is a perfect example of it's nice to have a great offensive line and good players around you. But I think that Caleb Williams is certainly the most talented. And it's just a matter of whether he can grow into that. I like you said, by season's end. And if you have the best quarterback in the division by season's end, which is going to be important. I don't know if you looked at that schedule, but I don't know when it starts, but they go through a series where it's Lions, Vikings, 49ers, Lions, Packers type of thing, where it's mm-hmm. He needs to get right and they need to stay healthy enough to when they get to that stretch when it really matters and they're trying to contend for an NFC North title in a division that I know what the Lions have done. I think it's going to be very competitive across the board. I don't think it's going to take 13 wins to win this division, because I think teams within the division are going to beat each other up. But if you have the best quarterback in the division late, I think that does well for your chances.
The one thing, and I just said this to Paul Pabst, my guest in the previous hour from the Dan Patrick Show, and he's going to be hosting a show here on The Score Saturday mornings. The one thing that kind of throws some doubt into the equation for me, or more than anything that throws some doubt into the equation for me, is the head coach, Matt Eberflus. Now, I've been asking every football and Bears guest I get on here where they're at with Matt Eberflus, just to see if they can make me feel a little bit better about things. So Scott Baer of the Marquee Sports Network, Bears Insider for the Marquee Sports Network, where are you at with Matt Eberflus right now?
Yeah, I'm still new-ish to this beat, and sure, I kind of need to wait and see. But the one thing that I do find encouraging is that late in the year when he started taking over play calling, that Bears defense got a lot better. And I think that that's important. And Ryan Poles talked a lot yesterday. And I know that like this is like a preseason sort of angle that I'm going to take. And it won't matter because all that matters are wins and losses. This is a zero-sum game, right? But I think he's good. He's done a good job of inspiring player confidence in his process, in the way they're building the defense, in the way they're being aggressive to the ball. And I think that if you go back to when he was calling plays and you saw that surge from Chicago at the end of the year, and with the players that did well then who are still here now, I think that that's going to be important to their evolution. And that's why I have faith that he's not going to hold them back, right? I think that they've bought into his system. I think Shane Waldron is a very interesting cat who can do some interesting things. Seems like everybody's been with the Rams at some point calling offensive plays, but nonetheless, I just think that because he has the players believing in what they're doing and schematically what they're doing on defense, that's why at this point I'm reserving final judgment, of course. But at this point, I think he's got them moving in the right direction.
This last question is about Scott Baer, not the Chicago Bears. So when you watch Hard Knocks, some reporters have been featured. Our very own Mark Grody was heard and seen on an episode of Hard Knocks. When you watch it, are you sitting there going, I wonder if I made the cut this week? Are you watching for yourself when you watch Hard Knocks week to week?
You know what's funny is I don't like being the story, so I watch and then I'm like, I hope I'm not in it. So far, so good. I'll take what I can get. One more episode to go.
I think maybe I just have a huge ego. I think I'd be watching for myself. I'd be like, I wonder if I'm going to look good on camera this week. That is Scott Baer, the Bears insider for the Marquee Sports Network, covering the Bears for them over there, and my guest for the last few minutes here on The Score. Really appreciate the time and the insight, Scott.
Thank you, man. Anytime.
And he joins me on The Score Hotline, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. More Bears talk coming up a little later on in the show. Very interesting note about the schedule that I came across today. I'll bring that your way at 8 o'clock. At 8:20, Steve Stone will be here. But the Cubs maybe had their offseason plans changed with this little hot stretch that they're in right now. We'll talk about that right after this. Rami Makhlouf with you here on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
And now the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss, and the Cubs win the ball game. One of the more incredible victories that you will ever see. The Cubs rallied for 6 in the 9th inning to win it by a score of 14-10, and a weary but very happy Cubs team.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I'm still buzzing from that, man. I really am. That was heard right here on 670 The Score, your home for Chicago Cubs baseball. I forgot what the number was. I got home and I turned on the old Sports Center. when I got home, and they said the last 1,172 teams that were down by 7 runs or more in Major League Baseball went on to lose those games. I'm not exaggerating. I am just pulling that number out of you know where, but it was in that neighborhood. I'm not just making up some crazy number. That's how rare a win like that is. It's been over 1,000 teams that went down by 7 runs or more over the last 5 years and ended up losing. The Cubs to pull that out last night was just ridiculous. And as if you heard me yesterday, in my eyes, basically saving their playoff hopes. Every game may doom or save their playoff hopes in my eyes as the rest of this season plays out. Speaking of which, with an eye on the on that wild card race, right now the Cubs sit 5.5 games back of the Braves, who have the third and final wild card spot. The Mets, they won earlier today. They gained half a game on the Cubs. They're now a full 2 games ahead of the Cubs. The Cardinals and Giants, who are on the Cubs' heels and trying to stay alive in that thing. Giants, that game just went final. They lost to the Brewers 6-0. And the Cardinals, they topped the Padres. That game also recently going final. 4-1, the final there. So the standings all set for the night as far as those teams are concerned. And really, those are the only teams with any hope or shot of getting that last wild card playoff spot. The Cubs' hopes. I mean, I haven't looked at FanGraphs to see what their percentage to make the playoffs is, but I'm sure it's not great. Last time I checked, it was a few days ago, and it was like in the 6% range. I'm sure it hasn't moved very much, but all those teams just kind of hoping that they can make a run and make a move on the Braves and take that last wild card spot. But a thought occurred to me watching that game yesterday and then reading a piece at The Athletic about the Cubs catcher situation. That was a position where when things were bad for this Cubs team, we all assumed that they'd need to go shopping for a catcher this offseason. The way that Miguel Amaya was playing, and they had a couple other guys, Nito. I forget who was the player behind Amaya when the season started.
Yan Gomes.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All reliable. Until he wasn't.
Who could forget Yan Gomes? I just did. But that was a position that we all thought, okay, they're going to have to do something about that this offseason. Other third base, okay, you went and you got Paredes. First base, Michael Bush has worked out. You probably want to add a power bat in the offseason. It's just not really clear where. You might have to clear out an Ian Happ or a Cody Bellinger to make room in a corner outfield spot. But like the one thing that you knew, they got to go get a catcher this offseason. Somehow, some way, or they got to go get a catcher platoon this offseason. Go get a couple of them who can sort of handle the 162-game schedule between the two of them. Has that changed here in recent weeks? 312-644-6767 if you want to get in on a little Cubs talk before we turn gears back to the Bears and some contract situations that they and you should be watching right now. But you look at what the Cubs catchers have done in this little stretch here. And Miguel Amaya, he lost the leg kick and just went to a little toe tap. That was an adjustment that they made. And immediately you started to see results. 101 plate appearances since he made that little change, and he's slashed .352, .398, .593 with 7 doubles, 5 homers, and almost a 12% strikeout rate. That's crazy. Like, to make those kind of changes, and I heard Dansby Swanson saying the changes help, but it's also like the mental issue when you make those changes and what that does for your confidence. It kind of triggers some confidence for you, and confidence is a powerful thing in the sport of baseball. So both those things are at play. Also, since the adjustment, his hard hit rate has jumped to 35.4% with a barrel rate of 8%. Now, prior to taking out the leg kick, he was slashing .189, .253, .260 with only 7 extra base hits and 187 plate appearances. And his hard hit rate was 27.8%. Barrel rate was only 3%. So huge jumps in all those numbers in making that little adjustment. And you might be looking at it and saying, well, it's 100 plate appearances. We're gonna change the whole offseason plan. We're gonna not go seek out a catcher. And hey man, if the right catcher is out there, go get him. You know what I mean? I'm not saying, like, keep Miguel Amaya at all costs, no matter who becomes available. But you look at how catchers are being coveted around Major League Baseball right now, and you might not have a great opportunity to upgrade at that position. So given what will likely be on the market as far as catchers go, and that could change, but none of the names I see have really jumped off the page to me as, oh, go get that guy. It's not like there's a Juan Soto at the catcher position. I look at Juan Soto and I'm like, go get that guy. I don't care if we have to cut Ian Happ or trade Ian Happ to make room for him, or say a Suzuki or Cody Bellinger or whoever. Like, make the move, go get that guy. There isn't a catcher that does that, but given the market that's out there for catchers, and given what Miguel Amaya has done in this stretch, yes, just 101 plate appearances, but by season's end, he should be pretty close to the 187 plate appearances that he had prior to eliminating the leg kick. So at season's end, you're going to have equal sample sizes, theoretically, if he stays hot, you're going to have equal sample sizes of a Miguel Amaya with the leg kick, and then Miguel Amaya eliminating the leg kick and going to the toe tap. And you have to look at that and go, well, how real was that? How real, how sustainable are those numbers that he showed after making that adjustment? And on top of that, what Christian Betancourt has done since coming up for this team to be the backup catcher, hitting the game-winning hit yesterday, 7 RBIs in that game yesterday since being called up. He's had 29 plate appearances, 11 hits, 7 of those for extra base. Like, every time the ball comes off his bat, he's on second, at least it seems, with Christian Betancourt. And he's slashing .407, .448, .889 with 15 RBIs. And I'm not saying I expect Christian Betancourt to keep being that dude. This is a guy who was on the verge of being DFA'd when he was with the Marlins before the Cubs made the trade to go and get him. But what Christian Betancourt does is it gives me a picture of what it might look like if Miguel Amaya isn't that dude that you can put back there for, you know, 145, 150 games over the course of a season. If you can just find, like, a Christian Betancourt, I'm not saying Christian Betancourt, but if you can just find a Christian Betancourt type who's serviceable to fill in, I don't know, 50, 60 games, if you don't have faith in Miguel Amaya to be an everyday catcher, can you go out and find a guy who can plug the schedule on those days for 50 or 60 games over the course of a schedule so that your catcher position is covered? Not great, but it's covered. The question is, do you buy what you're seeing from Miguel Amaya? That's the real question. And I kind of do. And also, I'm tired of this lack of development, and PCA has been the exception to that rule. I heard Bernstein and Holmes talking about him today and what it would mean for the Cubs if he is this good. Oh my God, that would be, and if he's this good, PCA would be legendary in a Cubs uniform and would do a lot to help you win baseball games in the future. But I'm tired of this lack of development at the major league level for Cubs players. They love to tell us that development isn't linear. And I agree with that. I'm cool with that. But you had a whole class of what were touted as potential Hall of Famers in Chris Bryant and Wilson Contreras and Kyle Schwarber, guys who had immense talent and potential, who never seemed to reach it or meet it with the Cubs, and actually kind of regressed in a lot of ways to the point where you were like, I don't feel good paying this guy money. So when you have a Miguel Amaya, who was pretty highly touted coming up through the Cubs system, he was one of the reasons that they felt okay about letting Wilson Contreras walk for nothing, was that they had Miguel Amaya coming up from the minor leagues. When a guy comes up and he struggles, but then makes the type of adjustment that you asked him to make and you see results, I hate just pulling the plug on that, man. I really just hate pulling the plug on that, because you're going to have to develop your own players. And they've done it with Michael Busch at first. Like I said, PCA looks good in center, but you're going to need, through up and down that lineup and all over that field, I don't care how much money you have. I don't care if you're the Yankees. I don't care if you're the Dodgers. Whoever it is, you're going to have to develop some of your own talent. And some of that development has to happen at the major league level. And Miguel Amaya has done what you've asked him to do, made that adjustment. And like I said, by season's end, if this keeps up, you're going to have just as big a sample size of him succeeding with the adjustment as you had of him failing pre-adjustment. I say let it ride. If anything, go and get, like I said, a platoon catcher that you can put with him if you're not ready to make that leap yet and call him your everyday catcher. But I'm not going out and looking for an everyday catcher necessarily if I'm the Cubs after seeing what Miguel Amaya can do, at least as part of a platoon, and what we've seen from Christian Betancourt so far in the short time that he's been up here. By the way, Betancourt, after that game-winning hit yesterday, this is what he said motivated him to go and get that game-winning hit.
What was your mindset when you stepped in after they had intentionally walked Pete Crow Armstrong in the ninth to get to you?
Oh, my God. I was like, this is my moment to shine. Even after the first pitch, someone behind me yelled at me, "You stink." I was like, oh, my God, I'm not going to stand right here. So, yeah, I was like, you got to shine right here. You got to put the ball in play and make things happen. And, you know, I hit the ball in the hole, and we were able to score two more runs.
Yeah, take that, guy in the front row. That guy was so loud. I heard it. I know exactly who Christian Betancourt is talking about because I heard him the whole game. He was like the third person in the booth with Boog and JD as I was watching that game. That guy was so loud. But I love that he said it's the same thing I say every time I turn on this mic, Robbie. Every time I turn on this mic, I'm not going to stink this time. That's the mindset that leads to success right there. I am not going to stink this time. I think so far, what are we? Hour and 37 minutes into the 3 hours, Robbie. We have not stunk. This show has not stunk.
No, you've been unbelievable today. So thank you. But are you a chirper at a baseball game? Are you someone, you know, let's say you have a beer or two or three, are you someone that will chirp at the other team?
Alcohol will fuel that.
Because I will say if I have a couple, I am chirping.
I went to a Cubs Brewers game in Milwaukee, and this was back in the day. You remember Jeremy Burnett's?
I'll say sure.
He was a right fielder for the Brewers.
Oh, yes.
One of their better players. And I was riding him the whole game, dude. Like, and as loud as that guy that we heard in the Pittsburgh Cubs game yesterday. And this dude went out and hit three home runs. And after the third one, looked right at me as he was running out to right field and tipped his cap. Like, thanks for the motivation.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That might have been the end of my heckling days, honestly. I haven't given anybody the business like that since. Like, Jeremy Burnett might have shut me up for good that day. That's a good possibility.
That's like a Michael Jordan moment. Like, using motivation any way he can, he definitely just did that.
For sure. For sure. I did not feel good about myself as a Cubs fan that day. Baseball coverage on the Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at tmobile.com/switch. Hit a quick break on the other side. Back to some Bears discussion. And a third time I've teased this, some contract situations that bear watching for your Chicago Bears. That's coming up next right here on 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Steve Stone joins me at 8:20 to talk some White Sox and baseball. I am Rami Makhlouf with you on The Score on a Thursday night. Just a couple of Cubs things. I said last segment I didn't know the exact number as far as that Cubs comeback and how rare that was. My brother texted me. It was the last 1,192 teams that were up by seven in the seventh or later won before the Pirates lost yesterday. I actually undershot it. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, you weren't far off.
You looked at me like I was pulling that out and way overshooting it, Robbie. I undershot it. 1,192 teams that trailed by seven runs or more in the seventh inning or later have lost. And the Cubs won last night. That is insane. And they did it on the day that Paul Skenes pitched. I know he was out of the game by the time that they did it, but they did it on the day that Paul Skenes pitched and chased him out with three runs. They're one of only, I think, two or three teams that have scored three runs on Paul Skenes so far this season. And a quick text about the Cubs. I am going to get to that Bears topic. I've teased three times now. But just a quick text about the Cubs from the 847. You can text 312-644-6767. Says, in my mind, the catcher thing has not changed. We all got fooled by the late season surge last year, only to be disappointed for most of this year. Let's not do it again. Fair point. You're also not going to completely overhaul this roster because you're looking at the second half and going, I don't believe it. That's just not going to happen. Like, a lot of this team is going to be back next year. I'm hoping for one or two major moves. Juan Soto specifically would be amazing, but I'm looking for one or two major moves, and the rest is going to be the same cast of characters coming back. You can count on that. I will tell you right now, you can pretty much count on that. Hope for one or two big moves, but the rest of this team, for the most part, is going to be brought back. I think the catcher position is still in question. That's why I asked the question here on the show tonight. I'm leaning towards stick with Amaya and maybe put him in a platoon with somebody else. Again, I'm not necessarily buying what I've seen from Christian Betancourt, small sample size. He was on the verge of being DFA'd. But if you can find somebody somewhat reliable to stick in there and platoon with Miguel Amaya, I just might be okay with that. All right. A couple of contract situations around the NFL that the Bears and Bears fans should have their eye on. First one is in New York, where it is not any better in the negotiations for Hassan Reddick, who got traded from the Eagles to the Jets this offseason. Seemed real happy. He put on his Jets gear. He showed up for the press conference. He's like, great to be here. I love New York. We're going to win a lot of games. And then camp started, and he was like, pay me. I'm happy, but you got to pay me. And apparently, no movement whatsoever on that thing. Here's Jets GM Joe Douglas earlier today.
In simple terms, we did talk about an extension once that once one wasn't agreed upon. You know, we had the conversation and we felt good about making the trade. And so, you know, obviously came here, reported, had a great day here, and again, we're just waiting his arrival.
Do you feel like their camp reneged on a verbal agreement to play under his existing contract?
I'd say that again, from our standpoint, you know, we've been really clear and direct with our communication, and you know, again, a lot of respect for the agent, a lot of respect for the player, and you know, I have faith that this will all get resolved.
That's an interesting statement, and I don't know who the reporter was, but a really good follow up question about, did Reddick give you some kind of verbal agreement that he'd come here and play under his current contract? And Joe Douglas did not say yes. So what they did was they talked about a contract extension with him before making the trade. He was like, nah, I think I'm good for what you're offering. And they were like, all right, well, we'll make the trade anyways and just hope you show up to work. That's on the Jets, man. That is 100% on the Jets. And it also makes me think of on Hard Knocks. Remember, we saw the behind the scenes of the Matthew Judon almost trade. He ended up going to the Falcons, and they were in the same situation where they were talking to Judon. They couldn't get him to agree to a contract extension, and so they pulled out. It kind of makes you feel a little bit better about the way the Bears operated in that particular situation, because they could be right where the Jets are with Hassan Reddick right now had he not agreed to an extension, and they made the trade anyways. Now, they did do that with Montez Sweat, and that worked out just fine. He didn't agree to an extension. They made the trade. A couple weeks later, he did agree to an extension, and now he'll be a Bear for the foreseeable future. But that is always a risk that you run when you're talking about trading for a guy who's in a sticky contract situation, and you don't have any sort of agreement, verbal, written, or otherwise, that he's going to come there and play on the current contract while you figure out the new one. That's 100% on the Jets for operating that way. Now, that being said, Ryan Poles needs to be calling Joe Douglas every day. Every day. Pick up the phone. Hey, Joe, it's Ryan again. I know we just talked yesterday. I was just checking to see if anything changed with the Hassan Reddick situation and if y'all were willing to move him. Because that is exactly what they need. And I'm not going to do the same mistake they did. Get that contract done, make the trade, then put him in a Bears uniform and make him actually happy at the press conference when he's introduced to the city of Chicago. But call them every day. It's going to change eventually. Somebody's going to break. Reddick's going to break, or the Jets are going to break. Somebody's going to break. From now until the trade deadline, Ryan Poles should be calling that dude every day. Just, hey, just checking in. How you doing today, Joe? Is Hassan Reddick available? We'll talk tomorrow. Thanks. End of cut. It's that easy, that quick. You don't have to eat up too much of either of your time or day, but just every day, pick up the phone and just check. Just ask. Another guy that might be worth checking on, and this is playing out in San Francisco, where, by the way, they agreed to a contract with Brandon Ayuk today, their holdout wide receiver. Great news for my fantasy team. I know you all care. That is outstanding news for my fantasy football team that he got a big deal today. And I mean a big deal. It was 4 years. Here it is. 4 years, over $100 million. I don't have the exact. I thought I had the exact contract. I saved the wrong link. Oh, well, he got a lot of money. And another guy who's looking for a lot of money from the 49ers is their left tackle and just the biggest badass in the NFL. I saw somebody today say that if you had like a Thunderdome where every NFL player walked in and only one guy walks out, it's Trent Williams is walking out of that Thunderdome. One for sure. He took on the whole Cleveland Browns team last year, just swatting dudes like flies. And he happens to be maybe the best left tackle in the league. I know the Bears are set at tackle, but what do you always hear head coaches, offensive line coaches, offensive coordinators say, we're just going to get our best five guys out there. I don't know exactly what the formation is if you trade for a Trent Williams, but you'll figure it out. If you can get that guy in a Bears contract, in a Bears uniform, you just kind of figure that out.
Yeah, you could just, hey, just move on over to the right. Yeah, you're going to be a guard now.
Exactly.
Okay? We have Trent Williams
exactly.
Right now.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. This was John Lynch, the 49ers GM, on that contract situation earlier today.
The Trent situation, things come up, and this is, come up. Trent's a fantastic player. He's a tremendous leader on this team. I will never fall short on my praise of Trent and what he's meant to this place. It was a great day, when I got that call from Rivera saying that they would do that trade, and he's been incredible since he's been here. So we value Trent. We love Trent. We want Trent here, and I'm hopeful that can happen soon.
Yeah, call him every day, too, while you're at it, Ryan Poles. You know how you look in your recents on your phone? It should be Joe Douglas and John Lynch at the top of Ryan Poles' recents in his phone every day. Just pick up the phone every day and just check, hey, I know you said yesterday he wasn't, but is that guy available today? Okay, cool. Just checking. We'll talk tomorrow. You don't want me to call you tomorrow? I'm going to call you tomorrow. I'll just see if anything has changed tomorrow. You got to keep an eye on those two. Those are both guys that the Bears could use and could help them win a lot of football games. That could take this thing to the next level. If you got a Hassan Reddick or a Trent Williams, we're talking Super Bowl. Like, we can legitimately talk Super Bowl if you got either one of those two guys. If you added a game destroyer pass rusher opposite of Montez Sweat, or you added the best left tackle in the league to what's already a formidable offensive line, you're taking expectations and hype for this team to another level.
So for the people who may not know how good he is, last season, 11 sacks. The year before that, 16 sacks. Year before that, 11 sacks. Year before that, 12.5 sacks. Yeah, he can get to the quarterback.
Yes.
Yes, he can. You get that person.
And Trent Williams keeps people away from quarterbacks. He does that at as high a level as anybody in the NFL. Just call and check. Every day, Ryan Poles. Just have those two guys on speed dial. John Lynch, Joe Douglas, just call and check every day if those two guys are available. We'll keep the Bears talk going right after this. I knew they had an easy schedule. It's even easier than I thought. There are no excuses for this football team. We'll talk about that next, right here on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.